He says, I will be an enemy unto thine enemies. Anyone wants to be an enemy to you? God says, don't worry about them. Just listen to my instruction, and I'll be an enemy to your enemy. Praise the Lord. I like that deal because it keeps my hands clean. God says, just listen to me. If I give you an instruction, follow the instruction. The angel of the Lord is going to come and he will speak to you. The Holy Spirit is going to come and speak to you. Just do the instruction. And if you do, I will be an enemy to thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. I am going to take your place and I'm going to fight for you. The angel of the Lord is, its assignment is to speak to you. Your assignment, listen to what the angel is saying. He is fighting for us. Hallelujah. Father, we are thankful for your word. We receive it. We're transformed by it. Things are escalated for our good because of your word. And today, judgment comes upon every enemy. And every grace, every blessing, everything that you've ordained for us to have is restored unto us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Before I get into the message proper, I have not shared with you the fruit that we are eaten from that tree for this month. The Lord has been very consistent, saying the same thing over and over to me about this month. That's the month that you're going to eat the fruit of victory. The shout, the word was, this is the month of the shout of victory. You are going to have a big shout. Amen. Amen. Let's hear that shout.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. It is your month of celebration. Amen. Victory over victory over victory. Amen. Now remember what I said to you. Every time the Lord gives a word, the enemy will want to contradict it. So you need to enforce it. You need to say shut up to the enemy and take the victory God has for you. Amen? May the Lord grant you and I wonderful opportunities to enjoy the shout of victory, the shout of triumph. Amen? Praise God. Well, come with me to the book of 1 Samuel, the 29th and the 30th chapters are the chapters I'm going to be speaking from. You know, in life, disappointments happen. In life, rejections take place. In life, you want to be somewhere and somebody says, you cannot be here. You want to be part of something and they say, you cannot be part of this. And this is what happened to David. David had joined himself with a Philistine king. And he'd been there for some years. And this king was protecting him because Saul had been trying, the King Saul of Israel had been trying to kill him. So he joined himself with this Philistine. And it's amazing sometimes where you find protection. You know, he found protection with somebody that was supposed to be an enemy. You know, the four lepers said, if we go into the town there, they might eat us. Let's go where the enemy is. They might have mercy. It's amazing how that happens. But whatever happens in your life and in my life, we must understand that there is an orchestration by God, that nothing is out of place when you are in God. Amen? So here he was, he joined himself with Achish, and the Philistines were going to fight against the Israelites. That is a bad place when you have to go fight against your own family. Joining the enemy to go fight against your people. But David was in a bad place. He didn't have to go. He didn't have to join the Philistines to attack Israel. But he did. He joined them. And thank God the Philistines rejected him. The kings said, who is this guy? Why is he here? He might join us to go fight those people, and then in the midst of the battle, he's going to turn around and start attacking us. We can't have an enemy in the camp. How did David get there? How did he get to this place? And how is it that sometimes we attack our own fellow believers? What happens? In the midst of you and I trying not to be bitter when we are attacked, there are elements of bitterness that try to attach itself. And I want to think that while David was going through all the attack with Saul, that something had happened. Something was broken. And maybe you're in that same place. You're attacking your own family. You're attacking fellow believers because of a hurt, because of an experience. Today I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that healing will come to everyone who is hurting, so that you never turn against family. Praise the Lord. David the king, anointed as king, even though he's not taking on that seat yet, was in a place where he was standing with the opposition to attack the people of God, even though the king was trying to kill him. That still doesn't give him the right, the license to go against Israel. Are you with me? Sometimes we want to do things and it is not right. No matter what the reasons are, it is still wrong. Wrong can never be right. And thank God for protection, because God protected him from doing exactly what he was trying to do. But thank God he was rejected. Somebody say, thank God he was rejected. Say it again. Thank God he was rejected. Say it a third time. Thank God he was rejected. You say, why will we be thankful that he was rejected? Because while he was joining with the Philistines to go against Israel, he had no protection for his family. He didn't have to go. And therefore, he would have been there protecting his own family. He vacated where he was supposed to be to join the wrong group. And while he was out of there, the Bible says the Amalekites came to the place where he was, situated called Ziklag. And they burnt the city down. They took his wife, his wives, his children, and the wives and the children of all of his team. And left. The city is burnt. David rejected from being part of the Philistine troop that was going against Israel, comes home, and lo and behold, his family is not there. His city is sacked, burnt up, wife and children gone. And the Bible says in chapter 30 that they began to cry. They cried and they cried and they cried and they cried until they had no strength left. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I didn't know you needed to have power to weep. But this is a bad place. It says, David's wives were taken captive. Ahinoam is gone. And Abigail, the wife of Nabal, is gone. And the people are greatly distressed. They are overwhelmed. And they began to speak of stoning David. Well, if you plant it, you reap it. He was trying to attack Israel. And now the people that he'd been good to, these renegades that he'd raised up, that become mighty men, were now thinking and talking about stoning him. He says, because the soul of all the people was grieved. The things people do when they are grieved. They are overwhelmed. They lose their mind. Their thinking processes get skewed. And that's where these people were. Everyone grieving. Because they are for their sons and their daughters. This is interesting because something is missing from that statement. I don't know why. It says, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Where are the wives? You were not grieving for the wives? I don't know. It says, but this is important. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. He's God. Something happened. Everybody trying to stone him. And he encourages himself in the Lord. You see, there are times in your life that you will come to where nobody is there for you. Nobody is there for you. The people you expect to stand with you are not standing with you. It's not a fun place to be. My prayer is that you never come to that place where you experience that amount of rejection, that amount of pain deep within your soul because of a mistake. You say, what mistake? The mistake of him leaving town to go fight somewhere else that God did not send him to. God didn't send him to go join the Philistines because he wanted to express his gratitude for being cared for by Achish. Your expression of gratitude must not mean that you do the wrong thing. And how many times, because of gratitude, thanks expression of thanks, we compromise ourselves because we want to just express gratitude for help, something that was done for us. Now you begin to cut corners. That is never the right direction to go. Your gratitude must not bring you to the place where the gradient of your life begins to go down. David encouraged himself. And as he encouraged himself, he asked for the ephod to be brought to him. And when the ephod was brought to him, the Bible says, very remarkably in the 8th verse, it says that David began to do something. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 8. It says, and David inquired at the Lord. He inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? He didn't know what troop. They didn't, it's not like they ransacked everything and they put in big letters the Amalekites were here. But he knew somebody did something. But where they went, he doesn't know. But he knew God knew. Let me say that. You may not know, but God knows. Say it with me. I may not know, but God knows. So if God knows, I can inquire of him. He inquires. He says, shall I pursue? Now, that seems a little bit ridiculous. If you know that your wife and your wives and your children and the wives and the children of those that are part of your team have been captured and led away in captivity, it's a no-brainer. You go looking for them. But the Bible says he inquired. Why inquire? Because he needs to know that the Lord God Almighty is sovereign Lord over his life. Praise the Lord. What place does God have in your life? The Word of God says, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and he will direct your path. Do you spend time to inquire from the Lord? What do you want me to do? I had to deal with a particular situation recently. One of our pastors in Nigeria had left the ministry. Don't have time to go into the details of it. But anyway, he felt led to come back after, I don't know, 15 years. So, I inquired of the Lord. I said, do you want this guy back? We can use him. But do you want him back? And the Lord says, no. I said, no. And then he says, but if he insists that he wants to be part, tell him to go start another work and have oversight over it. I had to inquire to find out what God wants to say about that particular situation. Because in my natural sense, I would have just said, okay. Or I would have said, absolutely not. Either one would have been okay. But here God comes and says, no and yes. Which one is it? Is it no? Now, the fact is, we were starting another branch somewhere else. I asked him, I said, should he go and this new one that we're starting now, should he go and be the one that plants that work? And the Lord says, absolutely not. Ah, that would have been easy. But I had to inquire to find out what God will say. Now, God has a plan and a purpose for that particular life. Something he wants to accomplish in that life, through that life, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Don't assume anything when it comes to the things of God. Assume nothing. Always inquire. You may be surprised at the answer that God will give. Praise the Lord. So he inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said, go ahead. Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Am I going to be successful? Because it's one thing for you to go after them. It's another thing for you to go after them and lose. David had another experience. Let me just hop somewhere else for a quick moment. The Philistines had come. And he asked the question. He inquired. He said, shall I go fight these people? Shall I go? And God says, go. Go, take it on. And he goes and he fights against them and he won. And he called the place Baal Perazim. Because that's the place where God bursts forth against his enemies. Now he wiped them out. Then the enemy came back again. But smart. He went and he asked again, shall I go again the same way? And God says, no. What should I do? He says, you stay here. Watch those mulberry trees. Watch those mulberry trees. Why? He says, just watch the mulberry trees. When you see those leaves, the branches start moving, he says, then go and attack. Huh? I asked the Lord many years ago when I came across that passage. I said, what was it about the mulberry trees and the movement on the mulberry trees? He says, that's where the angels are going to be landing. The angels are going to land, then you know that you've got assistance, because you need assistance in accomplishing the purposes of God. Too many times we go into battles without having the help that we need. And we're surprised that we are defeated. Don't ever go to war without having directives from the living God who knows the beginning and the end and everything between. Hallelujah. You are not smart enough to take on the devil. Let me say that again. You're not smart enough to take on the devil. He has dealt with smarter people than you, stronger people than you. And he has waited and outlasted people who were even patient. The only way you overcome is knowing that God is with you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. You can trust God for every single decision in your life. Because life is about decisions. Did you know that? Yeah, life is about decisions. The decisions you make are formulating how your life is flowing right now. The people you allow into your life are determining what kind of a thing is happening in your life. Decisions. Am I supposed to be a friend to this person? Is this person supposed to be my husband, or is this person supposed to be my wife? Is this the job I should be taking on? What am I supposed to do? Because sometimes you can make rash decisions and it seems like there is nothing wrong with the decision you've made, but it can cost you an arm and a leg later. It seemed so harmless. But it's a decision that's going to overturn your life and cause you much pain. God's directives of utmost importance. I've seen people whose lives have been just turned every which way because they did not listen to a prophetic direction that was given to them. Don't go here. But that's where they decided to go. And they got there and everything fell apart. And then they went somewhere else. Until this day, they're still running round and round and round and round and around because they did not follow a simple instruction. Stay here. Stay here. Stay here. God said to Isaac, stay here. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to bless you here. And while he stayed there, I hope I didn't lose you, because we're still talking about this story here. But I know I'm going all over the place, but I'm still on the same page. I'm still making the same point. Stay here. In Gerar, stay here. I'm going to bless you here. And the Bible says he was there in Gerar. And he was there for a long time. But nothing was changing in his life. Why? He was living in fear, saying that his wife was his sister. And so he got the same results like everybody else. Until God flushed out his sin, he repents of that sin, and the Bible says he sowed in that same land where he was not getting production. And all of a sudden, 1,000-fold, 100-fold, things started percolating for him. And he became so great that the people got scared of how big this guy just got all of a sudden. Inquiring of the Lord, hearing the instruction of the Lord. Yes, that's all good. But there's another quotient. Make sure you're not living in secret sin. Are we together? Now let's go back to David. So here's David. The Lord says, pursue and overtake and recover all. Praise God. Say it with me. Pursue, overtake, recover all. The word of God says, pursue, for thou shalt surely, surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. That's my promise to you. That's my commitment to you. Now, God didn't tell him which way to go. He just says, pursue. Ay, ay, ay. God, just spell it out. Go not east. Go southwest. Just give me some particular direction. and August is his pursuit. Thou shalt surely overtake them and recover all. Now, when God gives that kind of instruction and does not give you a particular direction to go, move. Someone say move. Because you see, his word says when you acknowledge him, he will then direct your path. He doesn't need to tell you north, east, northwest, south, east, whatever. He doesn't need to tell you all of those details. Just begin to move, and God will begin just like he directs the river through the winding directions. He will begin to direct you. Hallelujah. So he began to experience direction from God. And as the Bible, the Word of God tells us, as they began to move, the Bible says that they came across a certain man, an Egyptian man. They had come. And before I come to talk about this Egyptian man, they were moving and they came to a stream, a river, a brook. The Bible calls it the Brook Besor. Brook Besor. Besor means cheerful. Cheerful. Someone say cheerful. When you're cheerful, you're happy. There's an excitement. But the Bible says, watch this. It says, so David went, he and 600 men. 600 men were with him. And they came to the brook Besor, or cheerful, where those that were left behind stayed. Which people are these? They were, the Bible says, but David, it says, so David went, he and 600 men. He says he left a certain group of men at Besor. He says, but David pursued he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind. Why? He says, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. 600 men. But they were so faint. Remember, they were weeping and crying until they didn't have any more strength. Well, these are people that are going, but they have not let go of their pain. And there are so many in church like that. Victory has been, it's been spoken to them prophetically, because I am certain David said to them, I heard from the Lord. He said to pursue that we will overtake and surely without fail recover all. Come, let's go. That word was given to them, but they are doubters. There are people who doubt, who do not believe to the end. And they come to the brook of cheer, of happiness, and they cannot cross it. They cannot see themselves crossing over happy. They want to stay with their grief. Is there anybody like that here? You've gone through an experience and you're stuck with that experience, that painful experience, and you cannot let it go, and therefore you are faint and will not see yourself being cheerful. Oh, something bad happened. How can I be happy? Well, the Word of God says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if God brought you to Besor, a place of being cheerful, just be happy. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Be happy. Yeah, that's what you got to do. Oh, but what will people say? I don't care what people have to say about it. I'm going to celebrate the goodness of God in the land of the living. God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. My circumstance is not going to take charge of my life. I am going to believe the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord shall be made manifest unto me. I am going to cross this brook called Besor. I'm going to cross this brook called cheerfulness. I'm going to cross this brook called happiness. I'm going to cross this brook. And 400 crossed. And when they crossed, the Bible says they came across this Egyptian. The Egyptian had been sick and was left by his master. Left to die. They just left him. How do you leave somebody? You could put him on some donkey, find a way to get him wherever it is that you're going. No, but they left him. Why did they leave him? Somebody say it was in the plan. Your enemy will make serious mistakes because God has you covered. Praise God. God has you covered. And so mistakes are going to be made by the enemy. And they left him to die. They did not expect him to live. They did not expect any good, you know, because they for sure must have known that David left. Hear me. Those Amalekites knew that David left town. They knew. And this was their opportunity to attack. Rise with me for a moment. Say with me, Father, I surrender my life to you. May the enemy of my soul never take advantage of the mistakes I make. But let grace sufficient protect me and establish me, that no weakness on my part is visible to the enemy. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. Because the enemy of our soul will always try to take advantage. The Bible says, that this Egyptian was found in the field. He says, and they brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water. He says, they made him drink. In essence, this man was so weak, he could not even drink. So they made him. They found a way to hydrate him. See, water represents the word of God. They hydrated him. They made him drink water. And then they gave him a piece of cake of figs, two clusters of raisins. He says, and when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. He was refreshed. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. Wow. You see, those 3 days and three nights remind me of something. Reminds me of the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer is this, that we cross the difficult moments, difficult experiences of our lives, and come to that place where our spirit returns to us, where we are renewed and refreshed, empowered, graced by the presence of God to make the decisions that we ought to make to the glory of God. Amen? He says, and David then says to him, to whom belongest thou? Where are you from? Who are you? And he says, I'm a young man of Egypt, and I'm an Egyptian. But I'm a servant to an Amalekite. I'm a servant to an Amalekite. An Amalekite, the meaning of that, it's a people of lapping. A people of lapping. And the two senses of that statement, the people of lapping, you know when you run in a race, especially like a track, a mile, let's say a mile. And there's this guy that is running, and he's running so fast, and he goes around, and he goes past people that he started with. He laps them. You understand? And Amalekite is a lapper. He's one that go so fast, he laps you. Which means, hey, how am I going to make it? This guy's so strong and so athletic. He's lapped me. There's no way for me to win. And that's the lie of the enemy. The lie of the enemy is, there is no way for you to win. You have lost. That's why I thank God that the word to us this month is the shout of victory. Hallelujah. We are not losing. We win. Praise the Lord. Oh, you may have been lapped, but you are going to overcome. Speedification is coming your way. And you're going to run faster than the fastest person that lapped you. And you're going to lap the lapper. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hey, I like that. Yeah, they think they're going to win. No, you're going to win. You're going to overcome the one that overcame you. Praise the Lord. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. It seemed like they overcame him, putting him on the cross. He overcame them, seizing the keys of death and grave and taking all that they've held captive, taking all of them out of imprisonment. Hallelujah. How do they say it? Maybe I should not say it, but maybe I should. Maybe I should not. It's not over until you know what sinks. So I didn't say it, but I said it. Hallelujah. It's not over. Don't ever quit and give up thinking that there's no way for you to make it. It's a lie from the very depths of hell. God said that you are going to win. You are more than conquerors. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You may have made a mistake and the enemy took advantage of it, but you have returned and God is returning back to you. Everything that the enemy has stolen from you, there is restoration in the mind of God for you. Somebody shout hallelujah to the glory of God. He says, my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherry Heights and upon the coast which belonged to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said unto him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master. I don't want to go back to that wicked man that left me to die. He says, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, in other words, he escorted them. He knew how they came. He knew which way they were going. You see, there's always somebody that knows what you need to do. Hallelujah. I said, there's somebody who knows exactly what you need to do. I'm reminded about the spies that went to this city. And they saw a man coming out of the city. And they went to the man and said to the man who they saw coming out of the city, show us how to get into the city. Because what you think you see in the natural isn't necessarily what you need. There was a way to get into that city that was not natural. And this man knew how to get there. Rise with me for a moment. Say with me, Father, bring me in connection to destiny helpers who know what I ought to do to receive my breakthrough and manifold blessings. In Jesus' name, connect me, Lord. Connect me now. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. You say, why do I ask you to stand when we're making declarations? Well, because I want you to stand from the position of authority. Amen? If you're not able to stand, you can sit in the seat of authority also. But it's always good to stand up and declare the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Take note of this, that those declarations are not just words. They are sent into the realm of the Spirit to bring to pass what God wants you to have. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So the man says, I'll take you. I'll take you there. The Bible says, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth. What on earth is that? What is the word of God saying here? He's saying to us that that lapping spirit is a spirit that's all over. It doesn't matter where you are. It's all over. The Amalekite spirit is all over. That spirit that tells you you are done, it's all over. That spirit is everywhere. And they were eating and they were drinking and they were dancing because of the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. You know, the way God thinks is so different from ours. The Lord allows the enemy to think sometimes that he's getting away with stuff. But the end result is that God really is making them do all the work so that we can get all the benefits. They were all over the place. He says, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And says, and David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. Twilight till the next day. The evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them. These that were all over. He says, save 400 young men, which rode upon camels and fled. Only 400 escaped. 400 came to fight. 400 escaped, but everything else was wiped out. He says, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. That means all they carried away from the land of the Philistines, all they carried away from Judah. So now they are hyper loaded. I don't know the miracle. You know, there's a miracle here, because the miracle is that 400 men carried all the stuff that the people that supposedly covered the whole earth carried. Are you with me? That is renewed strength, renewed capacity. You want to rise with me again one more time? Say with me, Father, I receive enlarged capacity to retrieve and to collect everything that you have brought me in contact with. I am blessed beyond measure. Thank you, Father, for supernatural increase in every area. In Jesus' mighty name, I step into this place of divine victory and divine supply. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You may be seated. Enlarged capacity. It says they collected everything. And then it says, and David rescued his two wives. He rescued his two wives. Here, we hear about wives, but we don't hear about the sons and the daughters. Why? He says, and there was nothing lacking to them. Why? The Lord was the shepherd. Neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. My prayer is this, that we all will recover all. Whatever has been stolen, we recover it immediately. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We recover all. Praise God. Recovery. It's about restoration. He recovered everything. But there's something about that word recover. When I look at the word recover, I see not only the word cover, I see the word re, which is akin to the word restoration or restore. To recover means that whatever it is that you have brought is covered again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Covered again. It's covered again. Because when it is covered, it is not stealable. I declare recovery in this house. That everything that we have lost is recovered. Not only in restoration, but in covering. That nothing be stolen from this place ever again. Not things, not people, not finances, nothing. Everything is restored and covered by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's one thing to get things back and then it's stolen again. What nonsense is that? No, it is ours and we keep what is ours. Praise the Lord. So they're coming back, 400 guys carrying all this stuff. They cross the sea again, rejoicing. But they cross, and these 400 guys decide that the 200 guys that did not cross get nothing but their wives and their children. You guys, you fainted. You're not getting none of this. You see all this wonderful, none of it comes to you. And David had to step into the situation and says, no, 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 we're not doing that. Everybody gets something. Hallelujah. You cannot cross joy and start doing sad things. You do not cross joy and cheerfulness to bring depression to people. Yeah, I love to have my children and my wife, but all this gold and all this silver, what is this? Can't you give me just a little bit? David says, no, everybody shares equally. Hallelujah. Don't you love a king that has a heart for his people? So, you know what the word of God says? He says they were sons of Belial. God's word doesn't mess around. They were sons of Belial. Those 400 that went and collected everything, the Bible says they were sons of Belial. Sons of the devil. when you tight-fisted, that's what the Bible calls you, a son of the devil. I don't think some people like that. Then answered all the wicked, you see that? Wicked men. These are the guys who went and collected all that stuff. The word of God calls them now wicked men. Why? Tight-fisted. You're wicked. Wicked men, men of Belial, of those that went with David and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them off of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord, what? Had given us. You're not going to be tight-fisted with what the Lord had given us. And the question I must ask myself, and you must ask yourself, is that which God has given you, are you tight-fisted with it? God says, if you're tight-fisted with it, you classified as wicked and the son of Belial. And that you and I must not be. We must be generous. generous people. This is part of why David is a man after God's heart. He learned generosity. And as God's people, we must be generous. We must be a blessing one to the other. Hallelujah. It says, we cannot hold back that which the Lord had given us, who preserved us, delivered the company that came against us into our hand. God did all of that. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. And so he made it a statute in Israel from that day on. Everybody shares alike. Everybody, because that's God's heart. You know, when God gave manna and quail, he told them, take enough for your family. Everybody gets a share. When God blesses you, choose to be a blessing. If God has gifted you in any way, let everybody participate in the blessing that God has bestowed upon your life. So the Bible tells us, not only did they have so much, David begins to share with people that were not around. He began to send to different communities, shipping stuff to different communities. Can you imagine? All the stuff that they stole, he was sending it to the people of God everywhere. People were receiving packages. Oh, wow. People in Bethel got theirs. People in South Ramoth got theirs. People in Jatar got theirs. On and on and on and on. Every community. It's like we get it all here and we send it to Winkler. We send to Brandon. We send to St. Malo, to St. Pierre. We send to Steinbach. Everybody getting a piece. They didn't even fight for it. But God was being extravagant. And he had set up these Amalekites. He set them up. Because in the mind of God, he had a supply for so many people. He had a supply for them. And so, he made the Amalekites do the work, the dirty work. You know what the word of God says? The Gentiles are going to gather stuff and there will be a wealth transfer. Hallelujah. Some people think, oh, that will never happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's going to be wealth transfer. And we receive it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord. Hallelujah. That's where I'm going to stop this morning. But tonight, I want to talk about the fruit that we are going to be eating this month, about the shout of victory. Well, you know it. When they overcame all of those forces, there was a shout of victory. Hallelujah. When they crossed over with their children, sons and daughters and wives, there was a shout of victory as people were reunited. When they started sending stuff to every community they could send to, every community had that shout. Wow, we didn't expect this. I tell you something. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this prophetic word? Expect surprises this month. Hallelujah. Expect surprises. Stuff that you did not know were coming your way is going to come your way. It's not something that you planned on. It's just coming. It's just coming. You didn't expect it, but it's coming. People are going to be used to surprise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive it. Even this morning, I got a surprise. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting it, but the surprise came. And I say, amen. It's a shout of victory. Praise God. And I say the same thing for you. Do you receive it? Then rise with me. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher. Lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Father, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and what no man can do for us. But not only that, surprise us by doing for us that which we should have done for ourselves. Thank you for the anointing to cut off every enemy and to retrieve everything that the enemy has stolen. We come to the place of supernatural surprises in you. Surprise us. Surprise every one of us. Amen. By bringing into our lives your supernatural abundance. We say yes, yes, and amen to your will done in our lives as it is in heaven. Thank you, Lord. The victory is ours. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, before we come to honor God with our giving and sharing communion together, is there somebody here this morning who says, Pastor, I need to turn my life over to God. I've made mistakes that have cost me, but I want a turnaround. And I want a restoration for my spirit, my soul, my body. You might be here this morning and say, Pastor, I'm like that Egyptian. I've been left to die. And I'm so faint. But I know God can help me today to restore me and cause me to be refreshed in my spirit, my soul, and my body. I want to make a reconnection with the living God. Maybe you're here today and say, you know, Pastor, I've been backsliding in my walk. My walk has not been the same. But today I want to recommit my life to God and ask not only for forgiveness, but to ask that He be Lord over every aspect of my life. Whatever it is that you sense in your spirit, you need to respond back to God this morning. Just raise your hand and I'll pray with you. I'm not going to call you to the front, but if there's something that you need to do, I want to join with you before we go on. I see that hand. Okay. I see another hand over there. Heavenly Father, I ask, O God, for restoration of spirit, soul, and body. for the reestablishment of our walk before you. Lord, wherever it is that we may have compromised ourselves or created a portal that the enemy is able to walk freely through, Lord, today we ask God for mercy and for the shutting out of every enemy. And Lord, oh God, for restoration in every aspect, that our lives lived out may glorify you at all times. I thank you, Lord, for every life here and for the miracle that has taken place, the miracle of the new birth, the miracle of restoration. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Well,